Welcome to Hope's Garden and the Bridegroom Speaks podcast with Laura Ercolino.
I want it to start with the prologue to the Gospel of John so you have that fresh in your minds as you listen to St. John of the Cross's poem. So this is the Gospel of John, chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him. And without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life. And the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. The Romances by St. John of the Cross. In the beginning, the Word was. He lived in God and possessed in him his infinite happiness. That same Word was God, who is the beginning and had no beginning. He was himself the beginning and therefore had no beginning. The Word is called Son. He was born of the beginning who had always conceived him, giving of his substance always, yet always possessing it. And thus the glory of the Son was the Father's glory, and the Father possessed all his glory in the Son. As the lover in the beloved, each lived in the other, and the love that unites them is one with them. They're equal, excellent as the one and the other. Three persons and one beloved among all three. One love in them all makes of them one lover. And the lover is the beloved in whom each one lives. For the being that the three possess, each of them possesses, and each of them loves him who bears this being. Each one is this being, which alone unites them, binding them deeply, one beyond words. Thus, it is a boundless love that unites them. For the three have one love, which is their essence. And the more love is one, the more it is love. In that immense love proceeding from the two, the Father spoke words of great affection to the Son, words of such profound delight that no one understood them. They were meant for the Son, and he alone rejoiced in them. What he heard was this: my son, only your company contents me. And when something pleases me, I love that thing in you. Whoever resembles you most satisfies me most. And whoever is like you in nothing will find nothing in me. I am pleased with you alone, O life of my life. You are the light of my light. You are my wisdom, the image of my substance in whom I am well pleased. My son, I will give myself to him who loves you, and I will love him with the same love I have for you, because he has loved you, whom I so love. My son, I wish to give you a bride who will love you. Because of you, she will deserve to share our company and eat at our table the same bread I eat, that she may know the good I have in such a son, and rejoice with me in your grace and fullness. I am very grateful, the son answered. I will show my brightness to the bride you give me, so that by it she may see how great my Father is, and how I have received my being from your being. I will hold her in my arms, and she will burn with your love. And with eternal delight, she will exalt your goodness. Let it be done then, said the father, for your love has deserved it. And by these words, the world was created. A palace for the bride, made with great wisdom and divided into rooms, one above and the other below. The lower was furnished with infinite variety, while the higher was made beautiful with marvelous jewels, that the bride might know the bridegroom she had. The orders of angels were placed in the higher, but humanity was given the lower place, for it was in its being a lesser thing. And though beings and places were divided in this way, yet all form one, who is called the bride. For love of the same bridegroom made one bride of them. Those higher ones possessed the bridegroom in gladness, the lower in hope, founded on the faith that he infused in them, telling them that one day he would exalt them, and that he would lift them up from their lowness so that no one could mock it anymore. For he would make himself holy like them, and he would come to them and dwell with them, and God would be man, and man would be God, and he would walk with them and eat and drink with them. And he himself would be with them continually until the consummation of this world. When joined, they would rejoice in eternal song. For he was the head of this bride of his, to whom all the members of the just would be joined, who form the body of the bride. He would take her tenderly in his arms and there give her his love. And when they were thus one, he would lift her to the Father, where God's very joy would be her joy. For as the Father and the Son and he who proceeds from them live in one another, so it would be with the bride. For taken wholly into God, she will live the life of God. By this bright hope, which came to them from above, their wearying labors were lightened. But the drawn-out waiting and their growing desire to rejoice with their bridegroom wore on them continually. So with prayers and sighs and suffering, with tears and moanings, they asked night and day that now he would determine to grant them his company. Some said, "If only this joy would come in my time." Others, "Come, Lord, send him whom you will send." And others, "Oh, if only these heavens would break, and with my own eyes I could see him descending, then I would stop my crying out." O clouds, rain down from your height. Earth needs you. And let the earth open which has borne us thorns. Let it bring forth that flower that would be its flowering. Others said, "What gladness for him who is living then, who will be able to see God with his own eyes and touch him with his hand and walk with him and enjoy the mysteries which he will then ordain." In these and other prayers, a long time had passed. But in the later years, their fervor swelled and grew when the aged Simeon burned with longing and begged God that he might see this day. And so the Holy Spirit, answering the good old man, gave him his word that he would not see death until he saw life descending from the heights, until he took God himself into his own hands and, holding him in his arms, pressed him to himself. Now that the time had come when it would be good to ransom the bride, serving under the hard yoke of that law which Moses had given her, the Father, with tender love, spoke in this way: "Now you see, son, that your bride was made in your image, and so far as she is like you, she will suit you well. Yet she is different in her flesh, which your simple being does not have. In perfect love, this law holds, that the lover become like the one he loves. For the greater their likeness, the greater their delight. Surely your bride's delight would greatly increase were she to see you like her in her own flesh. My will is yours," the Son replied, "and my glory is that your will be mine." "This is fitting, Father, what you the Most High say. For in this way your goodness will be more evident, your great power will be seen, and your justice and wisdom. I will go and tell the world, spreading the word of your beauty and sweetness and of your sovereignty. I will go seek my bride and take upon myself her weariness and labors in which she suffers so, and that she may have life, I will die for her. And lifting her out of that deep, I will restore her to you. Then he called the Archangel Gabriel and sent him to the Virgin Mary, at whose consent the mystery was wrought, in whom the Trinity clothed the Word with flesh. And though three work this, it is wrought in the One. And the Word lived incarnate in the womb of Mary. And he who had only a father now had a mother too. But she was not like others who conceived by man. From her own flesh she received his flesh. So he is called Son of God and of man. When the time had come for him to be born, he went forth like the bridegroom from his bridal chamber, embracing his bride, holding her in his arms, whom the gracious mother laid in a manger among some animals that were there at that time. Men sang songs and angels melodies, celebrating the marriage of two such as these. But God, there in the manger, cried and moaned, and these tears were jewels the bride brought to the wedding. The mother gazed in sheer wonder on such an exchange. In God, man's weeping, and in man, gladness. To the one and the other, things usually so strange. What a beautiful way to meditate on Christmas, on the true meaning, on the true gift. The bridegroom became one like his bride in response to her desire, her longing. Ah, why are you not my brother, nursed at my mother's breast? The bride's prayer answered in the incarnation.
For more resources and our consecration to Christ the Bridegroom, visit hopesgarden.com, the sanctuary where the spousal love of Christ the Bridegroom heals hearts, marriages, and families. You may also want to join our community powered by Mighty Networks. Download the Mighty Networks app and find us at Hope's Garden.